you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Matthew chapter 8, verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, August 28th, 2023, and my bucket overfloweth. In fact, it's a special program today, a tribute to our two busloads of wonderful great friends and radio listeners as our two deluxe motor coaches made it up to the Pacific Garden Mission on Saturday. And I hope this broadcast will motivate you a little to know about the Pacific Garden Mission and the great work that they do. But let me give you a little summary or overview of what happened. As mentioned, we had two motor coaches, one leaving Champaign, one leaving Springfield. On the way up, there was testimony time, people sharing some of their faith journey. And on our Springfield bus, we had them introduce themselves, share their favorite food or activity, what they would do if they had $50 million, and share some of their faith journey. Holly was back and forth on the bus, giving out treats and snacks. And on the Champaign bus, C.J. Sizemore and his wife, the beloved Sharon, hosted with testimonies and treats and some sharing time. But they didn't have air conditioning for a little part of the trip. So it was getting to be 90 degrees, but they persevered. They prayed it up, and they got up to the Pacific Garden about 5 minutes before our motor coach arrived. But we all became great friends on the trip, and we were warmly greeted by the Pacific Garden Mission staff. They ushered us into the building, and we sat in their large gymnasium area and watched an Unshackled production that'll be aired around Thanksgiving. They usually produce them about 3 months out, so there's about 6 or 7 or 8 actors on stage, an individual that was doing the sound effects, then someone on the organ. And they walked us through the whole production, how we had to be quiet, but at one point we needed to applause for a sound effect. And they warned us that their cap gun would sound like a real gun being fired, and not to be alarmed because we are in Chicago. But they got us all set up, and the actors got in character, and the narrator walked through the whole story. It was just fabulous and fun. And as they were finishing up, we could smell our dinner being all prepared and delivered. But it did afford us to have about 20 minutes of open discussion, a Q&A, and a lot of people got their questions answered about the Pacific Garden Mission, about Unshackled. And so that was kind of a bonus. They don't usually get to do that. But the food was all laid out, so we didn't eat in the cafeteria. They were individual servings in these styrofoam containers. That included ribs, mashed potatoes, broccoli, and an assortment of tasty desserts, from lemon cake to big brownies to, I think, chocolate cake, a variety of tasty treats. And as we were finishing up eating, people started arriving for the evening service, filling this multipurpose room, which included a number of the residents. And as everyone was seated and there were opening remarks, the singing men of GNN were invited to come out on stage. And I think we sang for about a half hour, I think 7 or 8 songs. Great participation from those in the audience. And so the guys debuted our new shirt. It's kind of like a raspberry or a reddish, I forget the actual name of the color, but it's between red and raspberry, I think. And so it was fun being on stage singing during the service. And then Pastor Phil delivered a great message on perspective. Are you carrying your own perspective or God's perspective? And he gave examples like King David when he fought against Goliath. He didn't have the human perspective. Hey, look at this big giant. I'll never be able to overcome him and be all afraid like everyone else was. He said, I serve God, and God is in control, and God can take down this giant. And so it was shared how oftentimes we have the wrong perspective. We don't have that eternal perspective or the perspective that God is for us and God can do all things. He's almighty. Anyways, it was a great time. We'll certainly do it again. Lots of other things can be said and shared, but what I've put together is a few testimonies that were shared some time ago at the Pacific Garden Mission, and a little narration to give you an idea of some of the things they do there. And so I hope today's edition of Mark and Friends, the Monday edition, with kind of a Testimony Tuesday bent to it, will be a blessing to you. Here's Pastor Phil of the Pacific Garden Mission and another staff member and those that have been blessed by the services they provide.
I came from the streets, so I know what they're feeling, what they're going through, and I'm glad I was able to be put in this position to be able to help someone just like I was.
The enemy knows what your weaknesses are. And if the frontal attack does not work, maybe if the enemy practices a little deception.
Since 1877, this ministry has been on the front lines of homeless ministry in the city of Chicago. Recently, I met with a group of migrants, and one of the children walked up to me and just said he needed a hug. When I thought about that, and it really stopped me, because I think how many men, women, and children, when they walk through our doors, simply just need a hug. Shoulder to cry on, somebody to talk to. And that is what we're here for, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and meet the needs of hurting men and women in this city. You're going to hear some amazing testimonies, and I pray that you would open up your heart to the Word of God. But Pacific Garden Mission truly is a special place because God has been doing miracles here for a long, long time. Stay tuned. Open up your heart. God bless you.
Well, thank you, Pastor Phil, and thank you for joining us on this wonderful program. We're excited you're with us, and we prepared a wonderful program. And what we want to share with you today is what God is doing at Pacific Garden Mission. I'm standing in the courtyard here. It just looks like a normal courtyard, but around me are classrooms. And most people don't know that when you step in a homeless shelter, someone just yesterday asked me, is it like a soup kitchen? This is like a university where people come through these doors. Yes, they're hungry, they need food, they need shelter, they need like bandages and things, but the most important thing is they need Jesus. And once someone recognizes their need for a Savior here at Pacific Garden Mission, we invite them to join our discipleship programs where they can live under the Word of God here in the building for free and begin to let the Word of God change their life so that they can be all that God meant them to be and they would fulfill His purpose. And it's a great feeling to walk off that stage with your diploma and in hand. And it is a wonderful place here at Pacific Garden Mission. So stick with us. We are big on testimonies here. So we have two testimonies. We're going to talk to a staff member who is going to share with you what it's like to be in the day room. And then we're going to talk to someone in our program. So you're going to get a full kind of look at different things. Jesus Christ told us to remember Him, and we do that through testimonies. So as you enjoy these testimonies, remember what Jesus Christ has done in your life, or maybe you don't know Him personally, what He can do in your life. And I'll be back after these testimonies are over.
You might have somebody that come in that had like a bad experience, whereas if their family members, you know, they had come to a domestic, you know, something like that. You have a person that would be sitting there for a minute just start crying or something, or not knowing what to say or do. And, you know, we have situations. Sometimes it be calm. Sometimes it be overwhelming as well, too. I know people just need help. You know, I just know it's hurting people out there in the world when they come here and see that there is a change that can happen, that the Lord can provide and the Lord can come into their heart. If they have acceptance, though, they got to be able to want to accept to be able to be loved and to be somebody that care for them. Because I know when I came here, then nobody, you know, mostly everyone turned their back on me. But here at Pacific Garden Mission, you got people that really care. We got a group of guys back there, us as a tight-knitted team. We have devotions in the morning to get our day started. 9 o'clock, we go in, we have a guy, and we sit down, have a strong devotion. We talk amongst each other, share the word of God, and we talk to each other. We strengthen each other. We help each other, you know, in that manner. Then when we go back in that day room, it's like a shot of energy that the Lord give us to be able to talk to the people we be around and everything. And when they're going through, because I'm not all the time, some situations be so when we like don't have words to say, then you know, at that moment I just sit back and like, Lord, give me guidance on how to share or talk to this person. And he have done it, and I have saw results when people's, you know, come out in my office real down and out of place, but when they leave out, they be joyful and back on where they need to be. So I have seen experience in God work through situations like that, you know. So I just thank God for being here, for being able to have my time to be able to share with peoples that come in. And these peoples here, they just like I am. It's just a reflection of me. When I see all the hurting peoples, it makes me think and realize what I've been through. So that gave me a passion to want to help someone else, because I know I once was in that predicament before. I once was sitting in their shoes and sitting where they were sitting at. So it ain't like I'm looking down somewhere where I came from the outside with this college guy, got everything all together. It wasn't like that. I came from the streets, so I know what they're feeling, what they're going through, and I'm glad I was able to be put in this position to be able to help someone just like I was, and I just thank God for that. We come through different challenges when we be here, you know. Sometimes it be quiet time, sometimes it be extreme. And you know, one time I had a challenge whereas when I come in, it was like the whole box was full. It was so many peoples. You know, it was cold outside this day, and it was just like extremely a lot of peoples. And you never know what you can face when you're going into that office. You know, I came into the office one day, and a gentleman was sitting down, and I was talking to him, and he was like, can you please write me out a voucher, you know, for a birth certificate and everything. So I started to write out a letter and stuff. And so one of the, he messed up, wrote something, one of the numbers off. So I fixed it for him and told him it was going to be all right. And that was the only one I had. And he was like, no, I don't think this is going to do. And he threw the paper up. And he was like, I need you to make me another one. And so I was like, but I don't even have that right now. So he closed the door and stood in front of the door. So he was a really big guy, too. He stood in front of the door and said, I need for you to make me another letter right now. And so right there, I'm like, wow, what am I going to do? I can't go nowhere. He got me strapped in, you know, and I'm like, Lord, what is it right now at this moment that what I be able to do? I looked at him and I said, sir, if you need some help, I don't have all the answers, but I know one thing. We can help you in any way possible that we need, that we can help you. Can you just give me that chance to try to help you? If I can, I will be able to give you another letter. He looked, his whole demeanor changed. He said, you can really do that for me? I said, sure I can. He was like, thank you so much. I was like, sir, you can have a seat now. He sat down, and I was like, I mean, not knowing what was going to happen at that moment, you know, but the thing I'm trying to get at is physically, I didn't think, you know, I would be able to get up with this dude. But at that moment, who thinks about talking to the Lord when you're in a situation? But I had that thought of talking to the Lord at that moment. I said, Lord, what was I supposed to do in this moment? The word of God says, seek the Lord in all your ways and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And I did that at that time. That's in Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6. And so when I done that, I saw the calmness go down, and we was able to help him. I was able to give him another letter, and everything worked out. And I was able to say, Lord, this is something that I overcame only because of you. In a circumstance, in a situation like that. So I just thank God, you know, we have challenging moments, but God get us through, and I can see that he does help us to get past situations and circumstances and can make peace at the end of the day.
First of all, I want to give honor to God, who is the head of my life. I know without him, none of this would be possible for today. I'm just going to get a little bit about my background. I'm a little Chi-Town girl, grew up on 39, grew up in the projects. Yeah, I was a bad girl. I've been through a lot. My mom was an alcoholic. My whole family was a line of alcoholics, which we were always told if there was anything you want to do, she'd rather us to get high or drink at home instead of being out in the streets with her. And at that moment in my life, you know, I thought that was okay. Okay, I was molested as a child. I was raped. I was beaten. I've been through some of any and everything growing up in Chicago. I started using drugs at the age of 16. I was introduced by a family member, which led me far, far, far than I ever thought I would ever go. I used drugs. I did any and everything that was possible to do to get my high on. Ain't no need up here trying to sugarcoat nothing, make it look like it's all that, because it's not. I've been molested. I've been raped. I've been mugged. I've been robbed. I've been shot at. I've been stabbed. I've been beat. I've been through it all. All for my drug use. I allowed it to happen just to get high. I didn't care about myself and nobody else. As long as I could get what I wanted, I was all right. So moving forward, I got clean. I lived in Dallas, Texas. I moved forward. I got married, had my son, staying clean for a couple of years. Thought I was going to do all right by coming back home to make my life better because I had missed being around my family. Only to come home to 2014 to where my oldest son stabbed me 7 times. When I arrived to Scrozier Hospital, I was pronounced dead on the scene. But God had other plans for me. Unfortunately, I thought my plan was to be mad at him and go back to my drug usage. So I went back out there, and I thought that I was going to pick up where I left off. No, I was more advanced in getting my high than I was ever before. I started giving away my whole Social Security check just to make sure I had what I need day to day and month to month. I didn't care what the cost was. As long as I could get high, I was all right. Until one day I woke up and I was sick and I was tired. I had spent all my money, didn't have nowhere to stay. The people I was staying with had put me out. I was outside. I was hungry. I was tired. I was dirty. And I went back on to my old apartment where I stayed at, where my son had stabbed me at. And I asked a friend, what was it I could do? And she told me, well, before I did that, I walked around back and forth fighting with God on, should I go get me another rock or should I come out the cold? And he just told me to walk and I'll direct your path. And I walked to 59th and Lafayette, and a friend of mine told me to go to the nearest police station. They'll take me somewhere for shelter. Little did I know they was going to bring me right here to Pacific Garden Mission. It wasn't where I wanted to be, but this is where he wanted me to be. I joined the New Day program, which is the drug program, the 90-day drug program. I joined that. I graduated. I did a little bit of the Bible program, and then I met my husband. We got married, and I am a product of being a believer in Christ. I come back every week to show people nothing that I have done, but everything that he has done through me. I've been married going on 2 years, and I just want to share a little bit about what alcohol can do to you. Okay, my brother had been locked up 24 years. In January of 18, he came home after being incarcerated 24 years. I'm not going to get into why he was there or anything like that. But there was one thing I always told him was, don't come home and start drinking. A month ago, he was in an accident where 18-wheeler hit him from behind. He was paralyzed. Well, he's not paralyzed, but he was badly damaged. Injuries like this, you don't walk away from. I know it's nothing but God that brought my brother through. He's up, he's walking, he's talking. He's not in his right state of mind, but he is doing pretty good. I want to let y'all know that the people that's still out there, God is not playing with us. Please, if you're not in a program, get in a program. It might save your life. Do not let the miracle walk past you. And I'm just here to say I'm grateful for God, for Pastor Phil, for the ministry, for the programs. Everything that they do here and they teach you is for a reason. It's so you can be, so you can get up and come out these doors and be a sober follower of Christ. And I just want to let y'all know that I am grateful to be up here in front of y'all to tell my story. Thank you.
Well, those were some testimonies of those that have been served at the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. And if you missed my opening remarks, we filled two deluxe motor coaches with radio listeners from throughout the area. Springfield, Champaign, Urbana, Rantoul, Paxton, Lincoln, and various towns throughout our listening area joined us up at the Pacific Garden Mission on Saturday. And I thought this broadcast would give you just a bit of a summary, an overview, an idea of what it's like, as we'll do another trip sometime into the future. And I can't say enough about all those that shared their own personal testimony on the buses as we traveled up. That was a great highlight for me, along with singing with the Singing Men of GNN. And I love those that attended the service, participated, sang out, clapped, shouted. It was such a blessed experience. And I hope today's broadcast gave you just a little idea of the great work that the Pacific Garden Mission does. And when we announce a future trip, you'll be one of the first to sign up and join us. Well, listening friend, I hope you're blessed into this new week. I'm out the door to meet with Howard. Our 97.1 FM Clinton station has been off the air for a few days. Our transmitter shut down, and we hope to install a backup unit and get that working in a couple hours. Of course, if you listen to 97.1 FM, you can't hear me right now, but hopefully by about 9:30 or 10 o'clock, we'll get that frequency up and running to God's glory. So we appreciate your prayers. And thank God that our other frequencies continue to lift high the name of Jesus, blessing all who tune in. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.